Vad dörr ska det vara? الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Then to continue with Al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah, the creed of the Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah. Then last week, we had the affair, the matter of guidance, that Allah guides whomever He wishes, and that He misguides whomever He wishes. Who can give me a brief summary of those people who are the ones whom Allah guides? What's a quick summary of those people whom Allah guides? Is it just an affair that Allah guides just people at random and misguides other people at random? Or is that not the case? And if not, then who are those people that Allah guides? Just very briefly, that Allah guides those people who are deserving of guidance, those people who desire guidance and seek after guidance. And, as the brother mentioned, that Allah misguides those, the evildoers, those who do not deserve guidance, those who turn away from it, don't want it, Allah misguides them. So we had the point that Allah guides through His what? No. There's a word that Allah, there's two words. Allah guides whomever He guides as or out of His favor. No, His fadl, His favor, or His bounty rather. And misguides whomever He misguides out of His Adal, justice. No. Then with regard to this week, and we reach point number 38, وَهُوَ مُتَعَالٍ عَنِ الْأَضْدَادِ والأنداد. At-Tahawi rahimahullah continues with regard to the points of Aqeedah with regard to Allah the Most High. He said, وَهُوَ مُتَعَالٍ عَنِ الْأَضْدَادِ وَالْأَنْدَادِ, and He is supreme and exalted, high above any opposites or rivals. High above having any opposites or rivals. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, said, Muta'alin, obviously this is from the names of Allah, Al-Muta'ali, the supreme and exalted one. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, explaining this word, Muta'alin, meaning high, Himself, مُرْتَفِعٌ بِذَاتِهِ, high Himself, and in His status, and in supremacy over having any opposites and rivals. So Sheikh Al-Fawzan here, he emphasized the three characteristics of Allah's highness that we need to affirm. Firstly, Allah's being high himself. He himself with his that, he himself is high. And secondly, that he is high in his status. And thirdly, he is high in with the meaning of supremacy over having any opposites or rivals. And he said, so al-andad, rivals, they are those who are like or those who resemble, and those who are equal. I mean, that Tahawi's just denied that Allah has any andad. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, what does this word mean that is negated for Allah, having any of them? It means having anyone like, or anyone resembling, or anyone equal. He said, so Allah, the one free of all imperfections and the most high, has no equal. And he has no one like him. And he has no one resembling him. So there is no one who shares with Allah. No one who resembles him. And no one who equals him. He the majestic and most high. So this is from his ulu, his exaltedness, with regard to his qadr, with regard to his status, and with regard to his qahr, his supremacy. I mean, the second two meanings of Allah's ulu, his exaltedness. His exaltedness in status and his exaltedness in supremacy. So from that is that he has no equal, no like, and none resembling him. And then he mentioned again the first part of Allah's exaltedness that we must affirm. He said, and he is Al-Ali, the High One, bi-dhatihi. He himself is himself high above all created beings. And this is a very important point here that the Shaykh is indicating, because some of the people of innovation, like the Asha'ira, the Ash'aris and the like, some of them, they affirm for Allah, Allah's highness, but only with the second two meanings. They affirm Allah's highness, meaning with regard to his status. They say it means he's high in status. Or they can affirm maybe that he's high in supremacy. But as for the first meaning, Allah is himself high, the High One. Himself is high in reality. Then they either twist the meaning of that or negate it or the like. As for the people of the Sunnah, as Shaykh al-Fawzan indicates here, then they affirm for Allah all the meanings of ulu, all the meanings of highness. The first of which is that Allah himself is high and exalted. As he said here, وَهُوَ الْعَلِي, and he is the High One himself, with himself, his self, he is high above all of the creation. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan moves on to mention the second word negated by the author here, وَهُوَ مُتَعَالٍ عَنِ الْأَضْدَادِ, and he is high and exalted above having any opposites. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning any opponents, having any opponents. So Allah has no opponent. He is not opposed by anyone from his creation. Since whenever he wants an affair, then it is not possible for anyone to object or to prevent his command. He, the Perfect and Most High. And when he wants to give, then none can prevent. And when he wants to prevent, then no one can give. لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا مؤطية لما منعت. Sheikh quoted a part of a hadith. There is none can withhold what you give, and there is none can give that which you withhold. In a footnote they mention, this is reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith number 844, and by Muslim with their chains of narration which go back to Warrad, the scribe of Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah. This is Warrad, who is the scribe, the writer of the companion Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah, who said, Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah dictated to me in a letter to Muawiyah. This is a letter written by one companion, Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu an, to another companion, Muawiyah radiallahu an. And in the letter he dictated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to say at the end of every obligatory prayer, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا مؤطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say at the end of every obligatory prayer, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone, having no partner. Sovereignty is for him, or sovereignty is his, and all praise is for him. And he has full power over everything. O Allah, none can withhold that which you give, and none can give that which you withhold, and none can be benefited by his riches against you. Then Shaykh Al-Fawzan continues, then quoting an ayah. He said, Allah the Most High said, مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Surah Fatir, the 35th surah, ayah 2. With the explanation, whatever mercy Allah grants to mankind, then none can withhold it. And whatever he withholds, then none can grant it after him. And he is the Almighty, the All-Wise. Then Shaykh Al-Fawzan finishes this section by saying, so there is no equal for Allah and no opposite for him. In what he commands and what he forbids, contrary to the creation. Since with regard to the creation, you find those who dispute with them and stand in the way of implementing their commands. So the created beings, all of them, have sharers, those who share along with them. So the creation resemble each other in knowledge, and in their names, and in everything, in their bodies, and in their characteristics. And they share with each other in their actions and in their ownership. Whereas Allah, the one free of all imperfections, no one resembles him, and no one shares with him. That's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends the explanation of that point. And then the next point, point number 39, وَلَا رَا أَوْ قَال لَا رَادَ لِقَضَائِهِ وَلَا مُعَقِّبَ لِحُكْمِهِ وَلَا غَالِبَ لِأَمْرِهِ. The author said, none can repel his decree, and none can delay his judgment, and none can overcome his commands. Shaykh al-Fawzan explained, saying, so Allah is such, and he quotes two ayahs, إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Surah Maryam, the 19th surah, ayah 35. With the explanation, when he decrees an affair, he merely says to it, be, and it is. And he quotes the second ayah, لَا مُؤَقِّبَ لِحُكْمِهِ وَهُوَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. Surah Al-Ra'ad, ayah 41. With the explanation, none can delay his judgment, and he is quick in accounting. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so Allah the Mighty and Majestic, when he decrees an affair, then no one is able to undo it or to repel it. Contrary to the creation, contrary to a created being, since implementation of his judgment can be stopped or undone. In other words, with regard to a person who's got some authority amongst the creation, that he, if he passes some judgment, then it can be stopped. So it's not even put into practice, it's not implemented. Or if it's implemented, then somebody else can come along and change it, stop it, change it around. That's with regard to the creation, but with regard to Allah, neither of those. And he explains the last part. وَلَا غَالِبَ لِأَمْرِهِ. And none can overcome his commands. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and when he commands something, no one can overcome his commands. His universal commands, that is. His awamir kawniya. Allah's universal commands, that which he decrees will occur in the creation, the Shaykh said, none can overcome his universal commands. In other words, as we had before, Allah's command is amr kawni. When Allah commands that something will happen in the creation, it happens, and no one can overcome that command. Then he says, but with regard to Allah's awamir shar'iyya, Allah's legislational commands, as we had before, meaning that which Allah has commanded should be done, with regard to worship of Him and obedience to Him, he said, as for Allah's legislational commands, then it is the case that they may not be implemented, and they may be disobeyed. And this is for trial and testing, so that reward or punishment can come as a result of that. So we should all be clear about, again, about the distinction there, that when Allah has commanded something with His universal command, a command for something that is going to happen in creation, then that thing will happen. And no one can overcome that command or stop it or change it. It's going to happen. So that is the Amr Kauni. And then the second Amr, just as with regard to the Irada. There's Irada Kauniya and Irada Shar'iyya. So likewise with regard to Allah's commands. And the second command is Allah's command, His legislational command. That which Allah legislates should be done. The order for the people to obey Him, and a forbiddance of them disobeying Him, then people may do that, or they may not do it. They may disobey. The Shaykh said, what's the reason that happens? This is for a trial and a testing, so that people can receive reward or punishment based upon that. I mean, if they obey, they get reward. If they disobey, then they're liable to punishment. Then the author mentions point number 40. آمَنَّا بِذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ وَأَيْقَنَّا أَنَّ كُلًّا مِّنْ عِنْدِهِ. He said, we have iman in all of that, and we are certain that everything comes from him. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, meaning, he said, everything that has previously been mentioned from the beginning of this creed right to its end, we hold it as our religion before Allah. And it is not merely speech upon the tongue, upon our tongues. Rather, it is from our hearts. In other words, this whole creed here is not something that we just learn off by heart and it's just upon the tongues, it's just saying upon our tongues. Rather, it should be something that comes from the hearts. As the author put it, said it, then we have iman in it. We hold it in our hearts and upon our tongues and act in accordance with it. We have iman in it. Not merely we just say it upon our tongues. Then the author moves on to a new affair and says, bringing point number 41, وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ الْمُصْطَفَى وَنَبِيُّهُ الْمُجْتَبَى وَرَسُولُهُ الْمُرْتَضَى. And that Muhammad is his chosen slave and his selected prophet and his messenger whom he is pleased with. So it moves on to the affair of Allah's messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ الْمُصْطَفَى وَنَبِيُّهُ الْمُجْتَبَى وَرَسُولُهُ الْمُرْتَضَى. And Muhammad is his chosen slave and his selected prophet and his messenger whom he is pleased with. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, the Shaykh rahimahullah, meaning al-Tahawi rahimahullah, having mentioned at the beginning of his speech what it is obligatory to know regarding Allah the Perfect, and what it is obligatory to hold as creed and belief, that he is the Rabb, he is the Lord and nurturer, the one deserving of all worship to the exclusion of everything else, and that he possesses the attributes of completeness and perfection and the characteristics of splendor and majesty which he has always had and always will have as his characteristics. When he has explained that, I mean in all the points up to here, all the points up to point number 40, having explained that, he said, having explained that and clarified it, he moved on to that which it is obligatory to believe and hold as creed with regard to the messenger alayhi salatu wassalam. And his saying here in point number 41, meaning, and his saying, wa inna Muhammadan abduhu al Mustafa, and that Muhammad is his chosen slave, to the end of the point, the Shaykh said, this is joined on and attached to the first speech in this treatise, where he said, نَقُولُ فِي تَوْحِيدِ اللَّهِ مُؤْتَقِدِينَ بِتَوْفِيقِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاحِدٌ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. Where he said, we say with regard to Allah's tawheed, holding as our creed, by the tawfiq of Allah, we say that Allah is one, having no partner, to the end. So here he said, attached onto that speech, is the saying here in point number 41 now. وَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ مُصْطَفَى. And that Muhammad, we also say, and we also hold as our creed, that Muhammad is his chosen slave. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, so it is obligatory to hold this as our creed, just as we bear witness for Allah of his divinity and sole right to worship, then we likewise bear witness for the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with ar-risala, with messengership. And therefore, the two shahadas are always inseparable. They're always found together, inseparably. I mean, the shahada, of course, the testification that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and the testification that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. He said these two testifications are always found together, inseparably. Because it's obligatory that we bear witness the first to Allah's sole right to worship, and it's just likewise obligatory that we bear witness for the second, for messengership, for the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he said, "Wa anna Muhammadan," and that Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Shaykh said, this was his name, Muhammad, alayhi salatu wassalam, by which he was well known. I mean, this is the famous name of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then he quotes a number of ayahs where Allah addressed the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, by name, or mentioned him by name. He said, just as occurs in the Quran, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd surah, ayah 40, with the explanation, Muhammad is not the father of any of your men, but rather he is the messenger of Allah. And he quotes the second ayah. He said, and in his saying, وَآمَنُوا بِمَا نُزِّلَ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وَهُوَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ كَفَّرَ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ وَأَصْلَحَ بَالَهُمْ. Surah Muhammad, the 47th surah, ayah 2. With the explanation and description of the believers, and they truly believe in whatever was sent down to Muhammad, and it is the truth from their Lord, then we will wipe away their sins and correct their affairs. So again, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was mentioned by his most famous name in that ayah. And he quotes another ayah, the third ayah. And in the saying of Allah the Most High, Muhammadun Rasulullah walladhina ma'ahu, Surah Al-Fath, the 48th surah, ayah 29, with the explanation, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those who are with him, the ayah continues to describe them. Then the Shaykh mentions, and there occurs the name Ahmad, the second name for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ahmad. This occurs in the Quran, in the saying of Allah the Most High, quoting Isa alayhi salam, Ya Bani Israel, Inni Rasulullahi ilaykum musaddiqan lima bayni yadayya min at-tawrati wa mubashiran bi rasulin ya'ti min ba'd ismuhu Ahmad. Ya'ti min ba'd ismuhu Ahmad. Surah Al-Saff, the 61st surah, ayah 6, with the explanation that Isa alayhi salam said to the Banu Israel, O Banu Israel, O children of Israel, I am the messenger of Allah to you, attesting to what came before me from the Torah, and giving you glad tidings of a messenger who will come after me. His name will be Ahmad. Then the Shaykh said, and he, meaning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has names which occur in the Sunnah, and they are mentioned by Ibn al-Qayyim in his book Jala'ul Afham, this great book of Ibn al-Qayyim, with regard to the virtue of sending salat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in this book he quotes those names of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which occur in the Sunnah also. I mean, beyond and besides Muhammad and Ahmad, the rest of the names authentically applied to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that could be some homework for brothers to collect, as many names authentically reported with regard to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as they can authentically gather together from the authentic Sunnah before next time, inshaAllah. Then the Shaykh al-Fawzan continues, and becoming acquainted with the Messenger, gaining awareness of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is one of the obligations of the religion. And so this is something we shouldn't fall short in, or be neglectful or negligent about. He said, so becoming acquainted with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one of the obligations of the religion, and it is one of the fundamentals of Islam. And the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab said in his three principles, Al-Aslul Awwal Ma'rifatullah, والثاني معرفة نبيه والثالث معرفة دين الإسلام بالأدلة. He said at the beginning of his treatise, the three principles. The first principle, the first fundamental, is knowledge about Allah. And the second is knowledge of his Prophet. And the third is knowledge of the religion of Islam with the proofs. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so just as it is obligatory upon you to know about Allah, then likewise it is obligatory upon you to acquire knowledge of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and knowledge and awareness of the religion of Islam with its proofs. These are the three fundamental principles, and these are what he will be asked about. This is what about the dead person will be asked about when he is placed in his grave. These three things, these three matters he'll be questioned about. Contrary to what people talk about so much in the dunya, people I think they're Islamic activists or the like. These are the three questions that a person will be asked about in his grave. About Allah, about his Prophet, and about the religion of Islam. About his Lord, his Prophet, and his religion. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and his saying, Abduhu, meaning the saying of the author, wa anna Muhammadan Abduhu, and Muhammad is his slave. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so he is Abdullah, he was the slave of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And he has no share whatever of divinity or right to worship. And he had no share of rububiyyah, of lordship whatsoever. Rather, he is the slave of Allah and his messenger. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Abdullah wa Rasuluhu. He is the slave of Allah and his messenger. He was one commanded with his commands. He was one forbidden from whatever he forbade. And he was one who conveyed the message from Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And this contains a refutation of those who go beyond the limits, the people of Ghulu, with regard to him, alayhi salatu wassalam. I mean, those who go beyond the limits, in excessive praise beyond the limits of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This point contains a refutation of them. He said, because there are those people who go beyond the limits with regard to the Messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, and they give him something from lordship or from the right to worship. And they call upon him along with Allah. And this is ghulu. This is going beyond the limits, and Allah's refuge is sought. Sheikh said, just as the Christians went beyond the limits with regard to Al-Masih Isa ibn Maryam, that they said that he was the son of Allah, or that they said he was Allah, or that they said he was one of a trinity. The Shaykh said, so in his saying, Abduhul Mustafa, in the saying of At-Tahawi here about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was Allah's chosen slave, this contains a refutation of ghulu, of going beyond the limits. So he was an abd, slave. And everyone upon the earth and in the heavens are slaves of Allah, the mighty and majestic. He, the perfect, said, in kullu man fis samawati wal ardi illa atir rahmani abda. Surah Maryam, the 19th surah, ayah 93. With the explanation, everyone in the heavens and upon the earth will come to the Most Merciful One as a slave. Sheikh Fawzan said, so the angels are slaves. بَلْ عِبَادٌ مُكْرَمُونَ لَا يَسْبِقُونَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ وَهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِ يَعْمَلُونَ Surah Al-Anbiya, the 21st surah, ayahs 26 and 27, with the explanation about the angels and likewise the messengers, he said, rather they are honored slaves. They do not precede him in speech, and they act upon his commands. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, and likewise, he said, the prophets and the messengers are slaves. So the angels are slaves of Allah, and the prophets and messengers are slaves of Allah. He said, just as he, the perfect, said about Nuh, alayhi salam, kana abdan shakura. Surah Al-Isra, 17th surah, ayah 3. With the explanation, he was a thankful slave. He said, and he, the mighty and majestic, said, فَكَذَّبُوا عَبْدَنَا Surah Al-Qamar, ayah 9. With the explanation, so they rejected our slave, Nuh, alayhi salam. Allah again described him as an abd, as a slave. And he said, with regard to Dawood, وَذْكُرْ عَبْدَنَا دَاوُودَ ذَا الْأَيْدِ إِنَّهُ أَوَّابٌ He said, Surah Sa'd, the 38th surah, ayah 17, with the explanation, and remember our slave, Dawood, the one possessing strength. Indeed, he is one who oft turned to Allah. He said, and he said with regard to Sulaiman, ni'am al-abd, innahu awwab. Surah Sa'd, 38th surah, ayah 30, with the explanation, what a fine slave. He was indeed one who turned often to Allah. Then he said, and he said with regard to Ayyub, wadhkur abdana Ayyub. Surah Sa'd, the 38th surah, ayah 41, with the explanation, and remember our slave, Ayyub. And he said with regard to Isa, in huwa illa abdun an'amna alayhi wa ja'alnahu mathalan li bani Israel. Surah Zukhruf, the 43rd surah, ayah 59, with the explanation, he was just a slave whom we favoured, whom we bestowed favour upon, and we made him an example for the Banu Israel. Sheikh Fawzan said, so when it is the case that the prophets and the messengers and the angels are all slaves of Allah, and they are the noblest of the creation, than anyone else besides them, from the awliya, from the beloved and obedient servants of Allah, and from the salihin, from the righteous people, are so first and foremost. If the best of the creation, if the messengers and the prophets and the angels, if they are slaves of Allah, then how about those who are lesser than them? Even more, even first and foremost, they are slaves of Allah also. Then the Shaykh said, and the most excellent of them is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is the last of the prophets, and Allah called him an abd, Allah called him a slave in his saying, wa in kuntum fi raybin mimma nazzalna ala abdina, Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 23, with the explanation, and if you are in any doubt about what we sent down to our slave. Shaykh said, meaning Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, He the Most High said, Tabaraka alladhi nazzal al-furqana ala abdihi. Surah Al-Furqan, the 25th surah, ayah 1. With the explanation, blessed is the one who sent down the criterion to his slave. Sent down the criterion, the Qur'an, to his slave. And he quotes the third ayah, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi, Surah Al-Isra, the 17th surah, ayah 1. With the explanation, glorified is the one who took his slave, me Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the night journey. Then the Shaykh made the point, and the station of ubudiyyah, the station of servitude, is the highest of levels. I mean, servitude to Allah. The station of being a slave, the station of servitude to Allah, is the highest of levels. And there is nothing more noble than servitude to Allah, the mighty and majestic. He said, and he, alayhi salatu wassalam, himself said, La tatruni kama atratin nasara Isa ibn Maryam. إِنَّمَا أَنَا عَبْدْ فَقُولُوا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. He said, he himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, do not exaggerate in praise of me, just as the Christians exaggerated in praise of Isa ibn Maryam. Indeed, I am just a slave. So say, the slave of Allah and His Messenger. This hadith being reported by Al-Bukhari, this hadith number 3445. So having commented upon the first word, that the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's abd, his slave, he commented the second word, his abduhul Mustafa, that he is his chosen slave. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and the meaning of al-Mustafa, the chosen one, is al-Mukhtar, the one chosen. It is from the word al-Istifa, which means al-Ikhtiyar, choosing and preferring. It means the one chosen and preferred. And he quotes some ayahs to prove this usage of the word. He said, He the Most High said, وَذْكُرْ عِبَادَنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ أُولِي الْأَيْدِي وَالْأَبْصَارِ إِنَّا أَخْلَصْنَاهُمْ بِخَالِصَةٍ ذِكْرَ الدَّارِ وَإِنَّهُمْ عِنْدَنَا لَمِنَ الْمُصْطَفَيْنَ الْأَخْيَارِ. Surah Sa'd, the 38th surah, ayahs 45 to 47, with the explanation, and remember our servants, Ibrahim, our slaves, our Ibad, remember our servants or slaves, Ibrahim and Ishaq and Ya'qub, possessors of strength and insight. We chose them by granting them special remembrance of the home of the hereafter. And they are with us from the chosen, the best. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so al-Mustafayn is the plural of Mustafa, And it means the Mukhtar, the chosen one. In origin, it is Mustafa with a ta in it. And then the ta is changed to a ta to make it Mustafa, to make it easier to pronounce. He said, so the term Al-Mustafa means the chosen one. Because Allah the Perfect chose Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam for messengership out of all of his people. He chose him. And Allah knows best where to place his messengership. So he does not choose except one whom he knows that he deserves to be chosen, and that he will carry out the duty. Since this is a difficult and tremendous duty, so Allah does not choose except one who is fitting for it. He, the Perfect, said, Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalatah. Surah Al-An'am, the 6th surah, ayah 124. With the explanation, Allah knows best where to place his messengership. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan moves on to the second term used by al-Tahawi, وَنَبِيُّهُ الْمُجْتَبَى, and he is his selected prophet. Shaykh al-Fawzan said the term al-Mujtaba, it carries the same meaning as Mustafa. It means chosen. Chosen or selected means the same. Then he explains the term, and the term an-Nabi, the prophet. He said, a prophet, a Nabi, is one whom Allah sent wahi, one whom Allah sent revelation to, revealing to him legislation. But he was not commanded to convey it. Whereas the Rasul, the messenger, is one, he defines then the term al-Rasul, messenger. So he said, firstly, just repeat that, he said, the term Nabi, prophet, is one to whom Allah sent by revelation, legislation. But he was not commanded to convey that. Whereas the messenger is one whom Allah revealed, or sent revelation to, revealed legislation to, and he was commanded to convey it. To put that another way, he said, the Rasul, the messenger, is one to whom Allah reveals legislation, revealed law, and he was commanded to convey that. So that's the distinction that Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions here, that the difference is, both of them had revelation sent to them, and revealed laws sent to them, but a Nabi was not ordered to convey that, whereas the messenger was ordered to convey that. Then he said, this is the most famous saying which explains the distinction between a prophet, Nabi, and a messenger, Rasul. Then he says, and the meaning of he was commanded to convey it is, he was commanded to require the people to be upon it and to fight them upon what he came with. Then he said, and every Nabi, every prophet, had revelation sent to him, and he called to Allah the Mighty and Majestic. However, he followed those prophets who came before him and walked upon the path of those before him. And he is not singled out with specific revealed laws, like the prophets of Banu Israel. Prophets of Banu Israel, one came and another one, another one. They came with the Tawrat, and they called to the Tawrat, which Allah sent down to Musa alayhi salam. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan finished by saying, and the term al-Murtada, and he is Allah's chosen messenger, Allah's messenger,